Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Friday to you all. This is your host, Brianna Dincher, and you are listening to the New Heights Show on Education. The New Heights Educational Group Incorporation promotes literacy for children and adults by offering a range of educational support services. Such services include assisting families in the selection of schools, organization of educational activities, and acquisition of materials. We promote a healthy learning environment and enrichment programs for families of preschool and school-age children, including children with special needs. The New Heights Educational Group offers support to all students, whether in public schools, private schools, charter schools, or to homeschool students. Podcast in honor of National Bullying Prevention Month, which is in October, we will be talking about a form of bullying called cyberbullying. And this is actually commonly occurring nowadays, even more than bullying is occurring, because practically everyone in elementary school, middle school, and high school has some sort of electronic device either at home or with them. And cyberbullying technology has made cyberbullying easier and very accessible. And I think it is important to address the issue of cyberbullying because it is just as serious as the bullying that occurs face-to-face. And I did an episode on bullying specifically a few months ago. So if you are interested in that, please go back and listen to that episode where I talked more about cyberbullying and the different forms of cyberbullying that there are, as well as the bystander effect. Visit us online at www.newheightseducation.org, or you can contact the New Heights Educational Group directly by calling 419-786-247. You can also email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Please remember to push follow us for updates on upcoming shows, or you can visit our website to see host bios and keep track of your favorite hosts and all of our shows. Here are the following announcements from the New Heights Education Group for the week. First off, I would like to welcome back Ms. Kaden Bahan to our internet airwaves. Her show is pre-recorded weekly, and she is exploring resources, teaching styles, and advancements for those with special needs and disabilities. Our website redesign is still underway, and we are very excited by all of the great features and new resources that are becoming available to families. Stay tuned for these updates on our website. The New Heights Educational Group has released their very first issue of the highly anticipated magazine a few weeks ago. It is filled with a lot of wonderful educational tips. So if you are interested in learning more about the New Heights Educational Group, as well as to have a nice reading of various topics, including poetry, recipes, tips for school, and topics on Halloween, please feel free to take a look at the first issue. And now back to today's show on cyberbullying. And I know that on a lot of my shows, I've talked about the importance of making sure that bullying is prevented and that parents are taking a step to ensure that students are telling the school personnel or the parents themselves if they are being bullied or if something is occurring. But I think most people consider bullying to be the sort of bullying where a student is getting physically bullied in school or the bullying occurs face-to-face. But over the past few years, cyberbullying has increased, and cyberbullying is basically bullying that takes place using electronic technology, occurring in the cyber world, as to say. So electronic technology includes devices and equipment such as cell phones, computers, and tablets, as well as communication tools, including social media sites, text messages, chat sites, and various websites. Examples of cyberbullying include sending mean text messages or emails, rumors sent by email or posted on social networking sites, embarrassing pictures, videos, websites, and fake profiles. Cyberbullying can be very damaging to adolescents and teenagers, and in fact, it can lead to anxiety, depression, and even suicide. Also, another thing that is very negative about cyberbullying, especially, is the fact that once something is on the internet, it is there forever. It can never disappear and will resurface at later times to renew the pain of cyberbullying. So bullying that occurs in school just occurs in school and that's it. Cyberbullying has a much greater toll because nowadays practically everyone has access to an internet and everyone has access to some sort of electronic device, whether at home or at school or work or where else. And cyberbullying has allowed bullies to expand even more and to ensure that the person who is getting bullied, the victim of the attack, is not only getting this negative emotional impact on them, but it's also spreading across the entire world wide web. So many cyberbullies think that bullying others online is funny, and they may not even realize that cyberbullying is, in fact, a form of bullying. They may think that if they're sending something through a screen, that if they're not physically hurting someone, that it's not a form of bullying, that it's just a form of teasing or playing around or fooling around. Another issue is that cyberbullies may not realize the consequences for themselves of cyberbullying. The things teens post online now may reflect badly on them later on when they apply to college or when getting a job. Cyberbullies can lose their cell phone or online accounts for cyberbullying. Also, cyberbullies and their parents may face legal charges for cyberbullying. And if the cyberbullying was sexual in nature or involved sexting, such as sending or receiving explicit images of minors, the results can include being registered as a sex offender. So teens may think that if they use a fake name, they won't get caught, but there are many ways to track someone who is cyberbullying, and starting with the IP address. So definitely I am not showing any kind of remorse for those people who do cyberbully others, because I do think that cyberbullying is the exact same thing as physically bullying someone, because the definition of bullying is that you are emotionally impacting a person negatively and you're making fun of them and you're making them feel as if they are below themselves. But I do think that it is important for people to realize that what may come out of as a joke may actually result in bigger issues later on with the cyberbully who is doing the cyberbullying. So I do think it is important for students to realize that whatever they do post online, it's not going to go away. It's always going to stay on there. And there are ways for legal authorities to track down the people who are doing the damage. But I do think that the best way to prevent any of this from happening is for cyberbullies to realize that any kind of mean or negative remarks they are making about someone else will not negatively impact the victim, but will also negatively impact them later on. So kids who are being cyberbullied are often bullied in person as well. And this commonly goes to the students who are bullied by either their classmates or their schoolmates. Additionally, kids who are cyberbullied have a harder time getting away from the behavior. So cyberbullying can happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and reach a child even when he or she is alone. It can happen during the day, it can happen at night, during the week, during the weekend, or the holidays. It can happen at literally any time. Whereas bullying that occurs in schools or face-to-face is only occurring in that specific time, and there may be bystanders who are witnessing the situation. Cyberbullying messages and images can be posted anonymously and distributed quickly to a very wide audience. It can be difficult and sometimes impossible to trace the source. So where someone may know the bully who is attacking them face-to-face, cyberbullying is a little bit more complicated. So it is more difficult to find someone online rather than they are in person. And oftentimes, cyberbullies spread. So if an image is released or leaked to an entire class, that image will soon be spread throughout the school, throughout the county, throughout the state, and eventually throughout the entire world. So anyone can see these images. Deleting inappropriate or harassing messages, texts, and pictures is extremely difficult after they have been posted or sent. And I do think that this is one of the reasons as to why cyberbullying is much more dangerous and has a greater negative impact than necessarily face-to-face bullying. Because if something is posted online, it can never be retrieved back. Once it's out there, that's it. It's going to be there forever. And technology has allowed cyberbullying to increase more and more. Also, cyberbullying, the victim, is more often prone to being exposed to alcohol and drugs, to skip school, and be unwilling to attend school. Because these are the ways that they're trying to deal with the anxiety and the lower self-esteem that is coming from their attackers. They're also more likely to have health problems and are likely to receive poor grades. Because instead of focusing on school and their well-being, they are instead completely occupied by this idea that people are talking negative things about them, that people are making fun of them. So despite the potential damage of cyberbullying, it is alarmingly common among adolescents and teenagers. So according to cyberbullying statistics from the iSafe Foundation, over half of adolescents and teenagers have been bullied online, and about the same number have engaged in cyberbullying. More than 1 in 3 young people have experienced cyber threats online. Over 25% of adolescents and teenagers have been bullied repeatedly through their cell phone or the internet. Well over half of young people do not tell their parents when cyberbullying occurs. The Harford County Examiner reported similarly concerning cyberbullying statistics. Among half of teens have been the victims of cyberbullying. Only 1 in 10 teens tells a parent that they have been a cyberbully victim. Fewer than 1 in 5 cyberbullying incidents are reported to law enforcement. 1 in 10 adolescents or teens have had embarrassing or damaging pictures taken of themselves without their permission often using cell phone cameras. About 1 in 5 teens have posted or sent sexually explicit or nude pictures of themselves to others. And girls are somewhat more likely than boys to be involved in cyberbullying. The Cyberbullying Research Center also did a series of surveys that found these cyberbullies use a cell phone regularly, making it the most popular form of technology and a common medium for cyberbullying. About half of young people have experienced some form of cyberbullying, and 10 to 20% experience it regularly. Mean, hurtful comments and spreading rumors are the most common type of cyberbullying, and oftentimes the person who is doing the attack, the bully, is not necessarily aware that what they're doing is in fact a form of bullying. So once again, as I mentioned before, they think that posting something that is mean or hurtful or spreading some kind of a rumor about the person, they think that's just a joke. They think that it's something that is funny and that it's not necessarily hurting the other person. So they're just trying to make it a joke, and they don't take it as seriously as they should be taking it. Girls are at least as likely as boys to be bullied, are their victims. Boys are more likely to be threatened by cyberbullies than girls. Cyberbullying affects all races, and cyberbullying victims are more likely to have low self-esteem and to consider suicide. And I think the saddest part of there are many teenagers out there who are being cyberbullied or who are being bullied, and I think the greatest toll on that is that there are a lot of students who are dealing with depression and anxiety because of the cyberbullying, because they do not feel as if they are the same as their peers. They don't think that they fit in to a school environment. And there are many students out there who refuse to go to school, who are in a very depressive form of state because of what other students are saying or doing to them. There have been many cases on the news lately where students are bullying other students who are mentally challenged or have some kind of a disability. And I think that this is definitely the worst kind of cyberbullying or bullying that there is, to bully someone who is not only your peer, but to bully someone who has a disability. I think that definitely that is the worst kind of bullying that there ever can be. And I seriously never condone any form of bullying is okay, nor cyberbullying, of course. I think that any time you post or write or say something negative that hurts another person, you can definitely see it. And I think you kind of have to sit there and think, would I like it if someone said this or did this to me? And if the answer is no, then I think that you should really reconsider what you're doing and tell yourself that you need to stop what you're doing, because you're not only damaging a person's self-esteem and emotional state, but there are also chances that the person may contemplate and think of committing suicide. So I do think that it is important for people in school to always not only think that cyberbullying or bullying is not okay or is bad, but to think themselves, have I ever been a bully? Have I ever been a cyberbully? Because oftentimes students are not aware that what they are doing may in fact be a form of bullying or cyberbullying. So cyberbullying is when a child, preteen, or teenager, or, you know, anyone really, tormented, threatened, harassed, humiliated, embarrassed, or otherwise targeted by another person using the internet, interactive, and digital technology or mobile phone. It has to have a minor on both sides, or at least have been invested by a minor against another minor. Once adults become involved, it is plain and simple cyber harassment or cyber stalking. Adult cyber harassment or cyber stalking is never called cyberbullying. So when an adult is trying to lure children into offline meetings, this is not considered cyberbullying. And I do want to talk a little bit about this because there are instances where parents think that if a sexual predator is trying to lure a child or a teenager into sending sexually explicit images or trying to schedule a meeting with them, this is not a form of cyberbullying. This is, in fact, called sexual excitation, and this is not a form of bullying. This is a form of a predator trying to attract a minor, and this is definitely against the law, and so it is a little bit different from cyberbullying. So cyberbullying most commonly is between a child and a child, or a teenager and a teenager, where a sexual exploitation is commonly between a child and an adult. Sometimes when a minor starts a cyberbullying campaign, it involves sexual predators who are intrigued by the sexual harassment or even ads posted by the cyberbullying offering up the victim for some kind of a sexual favor. The methods used are limited only by the child's imagination and access to technology. The cyberbully one moment may become the victim the next. The kids often change roles, going from victim to bully and back again. Children have in fact killed each other and committed suicide after having been involved in a cyberbullying incident. And cyberbullying is not usually a one-time communication unless it involves a death threat or a credible threat of serious body harm. Kids usually know it when they see it, while parents may be more worried about the lewd language used by the kids than the hurtful effect of rude and embarrassing posts. Cyberbullying may rise to the level of a misdemeanor cyber harassment charge, or if the child is young enough, may result in the charge of juvenile delinquency. Most of the time, the cyberbullying does not go that far, although parents often try and pursue criminal charges. It typically can result in a child losing their IM account as a terms of service violation, and in some cases, if hacking or password and identity theft is involved, it can be a serious criminal matter or under state and federal law. When schools try and get involved by disciplining the student for cyberbullying actions that took place off campus and outside of school hours, they are often sued for exceeding their authority and violating the student's free speech rights. They also often lose. Schools can be very effective brokers in working with the parents to stop and remedy cyberbullying situations. They can also educate the students on cyber ethics and the law. If schools are creative, they can sometimes avoid the claim that their actions exceeded their legal authority for off-campus cyberbullying action. So the way to think, I think, about this is to understand that cyberbullying oftentimes cannot be reported to legal authority. And the reason being is because oftentimes when a student says that they're being cyberbullied, the attacker or the bully and his or her parents may argue that doing anything to the bully is in fact the violation of the First Amendment, which is obviously free speech. So many times when a person tells the other person something, and when a student makes another remark to a student, whether in person or online, oftentimes they are backed by the First Amendment. That says that a person has the right to free speech and has the right to say whatever they want. So this does become a little bit more complicated in the case of cyberbullying. And I do think that it is important for students to definitely tell their parents and their schools as soon as they are being bullied or cyberbullied to ensure that the bully is punished by the school personnel. So I do think that the police or the legal authorities cannot necessarily punish a student for saying something mean to another student, but the school definitely has that authority to ensure that the bully is punished according to breaking or violating the school code. And in cases where cyberbullying may result in giving death threats to someone, or, you know, in fact, going as far as needing the person and causing physical damage to them, or, you know, making any kind of threat to either the student or his family or his friends, then definitely it is important, if the school is not taking action, to definitely go to the help of legal authorities, go to the help of the police, because there are many people out there, there are many students out there over the past decades who have in fact carried out these actions, and it is important to treat these kind of cyberbullying remarks or these kind of threats that are online as serious threats that someone may make to you in person. So bullying is mostly associated with school kids, and the word bullying includes one or more of the below. So doing some harm to the bullied by using physical power, just pushing the victims around, creating fear inside kids using verbal threats, teasing, name-calling, and inappropriate sex or gender-based comments, social bullying, such as boycotting a specific person, asking others not to talk to him or her, and making fun of a child in front of others. The bully feels nervous and cuts off socialization. So this does not cover, obviously, all of the possible forms of bullying, and neither does that above constitute a crime unless there is severe physical harm done or any law is breached. So as such, law enforcement agencies typically leave it to the parents and the schools to check bullying, and the same is the case with cyberbullying. So the only way that this is different is that cyberbullying typically involves the internet, computers, or smartphones. And a few examples of cyberbullying is sending mean messages or threats to a person's email account or cell phone, spreading rumors online or through text, posting hurtful or threatening messages on social networking sites or web pages, stealing a person's account information to break into their account and send damaging messages, pretending to be someone else online to hurt another person, so taking the identity of someone else, taking unflattering pictures of a person and spreading them throughout cell phones or the internet, sexting or circulating sexually suggestive pictures or messages about a person. So generally, the bullied is targeted over and over until he or she starts fearing everything around. Once again, the law enforcement agencies cannot do much in the case of cyberbullying, as it is not a crime as long as there is no severe physical violence or an attempt to dishonor the child. So at most, the schools and parents will bring in counselors to help both the bully and the victim. And once again, cyberbullying is not the same as sexual exploitation of children. That is, in fact, a crime. And if something like that does happen, it is important for parents to take a step and to ensure that their child is safe online. So as soon as that happens, it is important for the parent to contact legal authorities, to contact the police, because that is something that is far more serious than cyberbullying. So they're two different separate things. I think, you know, even, I think, in fact, both of them are just as serious as the other one is, because in both instances, a child or teenager is in some form of danger or has a threat on them. But I do think that it is important for parents to understand that cyberbullying typically occurs among students and among peers of the same age, whereas sexual exploitation occurs between an adult who is trying to sexually exploit a child. So So do you think it is important to note the differences between the two? So the first part of our episode was today, and I am sorry that we were not able to cover all of the aspects of cyberbullying, but we will be continuing this podcast, Cyberbullying Part 2, next week. So please tune in to next week's episode where I will be continuing our discussion of cyberbullying. And the reason as to why I'm making it a part two-part series is because I do think it is important for parents and students and really anyone to be educated on cyberbullying and what can occur on the internet, especially with the rise of technology nowadays. So I have decided to, in honor of National Bullying Prevention Month, to do these special episodes to educate people more on cyberbullying and the dangers of the internet, especially among children and teenagers. So once again, next week we are doing the second part of the bullying series, and I hope that you guys tune in to next week's show. I also hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. It was definitely very informative for me, especially to learn about all of the statistics of cyberbullying and the dangers that do result in kids thinking that they're having fun or making jokes to what can actually escalate from that. And do you think that, once again, it is important for everyone to be educated on what can happen on the internet and how students should be talking to their parents about what is going on, not only in school, but also online. So I hope you guys all have a wonderful rest of the week. Have an amazing weekend, and I will see you all next Friday. Take care, guys.
You raise